Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord my God and King. I tell you, I love Him. He is good. Today is a day to worship the Lord. Today is a living day. And the Lord has got me talking about living capabilities. Today is December the 28th. It's a Tuesday. And it's a good day to serve the Lord in. Another day of grace He's given us. And the rapture hadn't happened yet, so we got another day to work. Thank God we can work while it's day. Living capabilities. You know, I've been showing people what to watch out for. Yesterday we closed in Colossians chapter 2. And, you know, the Lord wants us to know Him. And the enemy is an accuser, and people who are like him are also accusers. And we talked about how people, the doctrine of sanctification is just another way Satan, the enemy trying to get man back into focusing on performance of the law. See, if you focus on Jesus, you'll fulfill the law. He know that, he's slick. So he tried to get men sideways with extra laws. And people when people oppose their bylaws on you, even though it's moral, the trick is this: it changes your focus. You're trying to perform instead of operating by the love of God. And we're not powerful when we're trying to perform. Satan is not afraid of a child of God that's trying to perform. He's afraid of the one that just loves God sincerely. And see, while you're trying to perform, you begin to backslide. You're trying to measure up when the blood of Jesus got you up to par. Now, I like to look at the scale. Adam was at the zero line. When you start learning of God, you grow from glory to glory. But when before he ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'm sure he excelled some. But when God first made him, he hadn't done anything yet. But he hadn't done anything wrong either. So he was at the zero line when God first made him. And God made him in his image. So that's wonderful. But now the Lord told him to do what I'm about to tell you. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. That's what you do with the love that's inside you. That's what you do with the love Jesus has provided you with. We don't work for salvation. We work from salvation. With that in mind, you don't have to do anything to perform. Because if you're born again, you don't want to do the ugly things in life. You don't want to do wrong things before the Lord. You want to do right. You know, when I first got saved, a kid got saved. I was a teenager. Now, his cousin, a brother, may have been his brother, told me what his little brother did, or a little cousin did. Somebody knew. Anyway, when he asked the Lord to save me, and he said, Lord, save me, and the Lord saved him. He said, now, Lord, take me to heaven. I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. And the Lord didn't just take him to heaven. And he had to explain to his little brother, I guess I was his brother, he said, no, God's not going to take you, just live the life of God now. You know, but he didn't think he could do it. Well, but when God loves you and you receive his love is the reason you're not going to do the ugly things in life. Now, Colossians 2 tell you how the Jews were trying to put the Christian people back in bondage through obedience to the law, like getting circumcised and observing feast days and Sabbath days. And they believed on Jesus, they were all right. They didn't need all that. Those things pointed to Jesus. It pointed to covenant. It gave man something that he could remember, that there's a covenant coming. That was the purpose of flesh circumcision. But God always wanted circumcision of the heart. And now we got it through Christ. We've been made righteous. I'm not righteous because I keep these bylaws. And those bylaws just did a mess. It made a mess. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit. All the bylaws that I know about that were wrong from the time they first were spoken, the Lord used others. He raised up people that went beyond the deception. See, when people live according to the light of God, they live beyond deception. And when people see others living beyond their deception, they're living better. And then people start doing away with those laws that divided their families, divided them from the love of God, hindered the purposes of the Holy Spirit in their life. I can go on and on. I talked about that in the last broadcast. But this today, we're going to move away from all that. And if you've been wounded by dead traditions and doctrines of devils and misunderstandings of the word, misinterpretations of the word, forgive the people who did that and let's move on. They were wrong as two left shoes. They was wrong as Satan was. But forgive them. They didn't mean no harm. They thought they were right. They may have been conceited. Some of them may have went along to get along. And some people knew it was wrong and said something. And they were considered the outcast. And they were probably probably ostracized by everybody that in the church. And some people did say something about that stuff. And they just didn't care, like me. When I was in it and when I began to see it for what it was, I stopped fooling with it. And I govern my life as I grew in knowledge. I govern my life with new knowledge. And I ask the Lord to help me be appropriate in all that I do. Now, if somebody tell you not to dress a certain way in the house, that's how you have to respect. I was talking to my mother-in-law about that. She said, you gotta observe the rules of the house, but that don't mean that you have to go along with it and believe it. But when you're there, you do what they ask you to do. Like, for instance, I joined the church and I went through the new members class way back then. This was before 2000, so, or may have been 2000, but it was 2000. It was before 2001 because I didn't stay to that church long. But when I went through the new members class, the pastor's wife said, if you have a problem with anything, you need to make an appointment with the pastor. So I did. And it was talking about women wearing pants and jewelry and stuff. Like I said, well, I don't believe it's wrong. I said, I disagree with that. I said, but if I preach, I just won't bother. I won't say nothing. But I was honest with him. I told him I don't agree with it. And why? And he said he respected me for being honest. And I said, if I preach here, I just won't talk about it. Because you can't. You have to observe the rules of the house. The Lord sent me that for that season. But you don't have to go along to get along. And that's foolishness. When people are wrong, they're just wrong. I don't care who it is. Now, but what I'm bringing, the only reason I brought that little bit up was because I want people to know that we're capable of so much more. Those things are sent by Satan to distract us and divide us. See, Jesus said, if you don't bear with me, you scatter people. So and he also said, without me, you can do nothing. So if we're not building with him, we're not building. And people, they keep these laws and bylaws and things that's dividing the church and causing harm. Then they pray for a revival. And how's God going to do that? How is he going to give them a revival? And they're preaching confusion. They're putting bondage on people that God's not putting bondage on. Making our daughters and sons and daughters keep rules that they don't have to even keep. And it's taking their focus off the Lord. And instead of being led by the Spirit, they're focused on performance, things that has nothing to do with the blood of Jesus. But if you love Jesus, you're going to do what's best. You're going to do what's right as you understand it. And when people see people living beyond deception, they're going to want to live beyond deception also, because nobody wants to be foolish. People don't just wake up in the morning and say, I want to be as obnoxious and foolish as I can be. No, They believe they're right about something that happens to be obnoxious and foolish. And when they go along to get along, that's what they become. But now, when they see people living by the love of God, operating in the gifts, you know, it's one thing to judge somebody and say, she got pants on, the Holy Spirit ain't working on her. But this happens also. People have problems. And so I was watching TV. I mean, I was watching Sid Roth, and I watch him on YouTube. And just yesterday or Sunday, and a lady had a situation. She had two abortions, and she was just low as she could be. And she saw Tammy Faye Baker singing, and what she was singing ministered to her spirit. Now, everybody know Tammy Faye Baker, she wore pants and she wore makeup. So here's a broken person sitting there listening to somebody with pants and makeup on and being blessed by the Holy Spirit. So eventually what I'm saying is people who are led by the Spirit, even though they're not dressed according to some church's bylaws, they're being a blessing to people that believe that they're not dressing properly. And they have to go and rethink what they've received as true. The wisdom of God runs much greater. Revival knowledge is there for those who are receiving. See, the things that we get hung up on, God's not hung up on it. But he'll use people that are free to help others become free. Now, we're going to shift gears. Living capabilities. If we focus on the Lord, some things are going to happen. And that's what I want to point out today. I did a little review, but forgive me for that. I guess it was necessary. The Holy Spirit did prompt me. So moving on, Romans chapter 8. Now, for a long time, a lot of preachers, good men of God that I know personally, have struggled with life in the flesh. Life in the flesh. Life in the flesh. You know what Paul wrote in chapter 7? When he wanted to do good, evil's with him, all those things. But see, somebody they divided chapter 7 and 8. This should have been one chapter, because 8 goes, if you read 7 without 8, you're going to think you're stuck. You're going to think you're stranded on an island waiting on somebody to come get you on a boat, so to speak. You're going to think that you're stranded here in a world of mischief until Jesus comes. And your life is going to be painful, and you'll wish Jesus would hurry up and come get you out of this mess. But if you flip the page and read out chapter 8, which we're going to do now, you're going to get a more complete understanding. You're going to find yourself superseding the woes and the turmoils of Romans chapter 7. He wrote chapter 7 to show you that when you're tempted of the enemy and things that's wrong appeal to you, you're not crazy. That's why he wrote chapter 7. But in chapter 8, he's exposing the works that Jesus already did, that you already received and believed in, how it'll take you far beyond chapter 7. Life in the Spirit. And I want to expose to you today the living capabilities that you already have. And I'm going to share things the way I learned it and things that I found out about. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which walk. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. And it don't matter how you feel, there's no condemnation. Because, he said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He didn't say that he made you free from the law itself. what it's saying is he made you free from the law of sin and death. In other words, he enabled you to fulfill the law just like he did. Just like he did. Just like he did. Just like he did. The law itself is good. It helps us to know we needed a Savior. But and the law of sin, the law of as you follow the Spirit, you're going to become a professional. Whereas before you were an apprentice. When you first got saved, you became an apprentice. But if you keep following the Spirit, you're going to become a professional. You're going to become born of God, not just born again. Okay, let's continue. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Then he said this. Now this is true. What verses 1 and 2 gives us hope. But verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So, Jesus did it first. He was free from the law of sin and death, and he condemned sin in the flesh. How about that? He fulfilled the law. Never sinned a day in his life, or a moment in his life. Then he said, then verse 4 says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. See, we fulfill the law again. We fulfill it. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, the flesh is not my master. And I can master the flesh in the strength of the Spirit, in the strength of the Lord's Spirit. Again, I believe in doing things in his strength. Why use your strength to do his business? Why use your strength to fight demonic or devil angels? Angels that Satan was once an angel, so he's smart. Okay, he's like a computer. His brain is like a supercomputer compared to ours. He saw God's face. He knows all kind of. He knows the ins and outs of how we are, how we operate, and he hates us. And his hate is beyond our it's beyond our logic. He hates us. He hates God. Can't touch God, so he hates man. He tries to take it out on his children. All right. And he has a hatred that makes no sense at all. If he didn't exist, the universe would be better off. If he never, people like him don't need to be. But the Lord is going to systematically shut down evil. He has a purpose. It's not he sabotaged the purpose that God gave him. He became something else. Now he's like a scavenger. He's like a parasite. Everything that's not like God, he will consume it away. And then God's going to move all the filth out of his kingdom. And put it in hell, and it'll be forgotten. Now, if we fulfill the law. Verse 4 again. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, which is very important, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When the law is fulfilled in us, it gets attention. It shows people. We're living before everybody we know. And when we live according to the Spirit of God, with him giving us his strength, it gets attention. And people see you living beyond the limitations of their deception. And they see you superseding the deception of culture. Even family deception, friend deception, religious deception. And they see you superseding it, and it's better. And they got to deal with that. You know, just like the Pentecostal lady who see Tammy Baker being a blessing on TV. And all this happened. This is history now. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And that's where we got to see, if we focus on Jesus, we don't have to keep going back and forth with the ways of the flesh, the weaknesses, the fears, the doubts, the unbelief, the lust, the greed, the pride. Paul said, do nothing for vainglory. And when you pray, don't pray out of fear. Pray in faith only. Learn to operate, to live after the Spirit, and operate according to the Spirit. That was verse 5. Okay, but verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then he gave us a footnote. Remember, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So what do we do with the evil desires that comes about that is fleshy? Just like the children of Israel drove out, they were supposed to drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and all of them out of their land that God gave them. God gave you new life. Drive out everything that's not like Jesus, everything that is of Satan. Now remember something, life in the Spirit again. People try to define what God wants without Scripture. Well, if you're going to live in the Spirit, you can't drink coffee, you can't drink beer, you can't drink wine, you can't smoke cigarettes. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Some of those things I just mentioned are bad and terrible, and they will do destruction to your life. But when you tell people, when you label things that they need to be doing, guess what? They're going to focus on what you label. And that's a trick to get you not to focus on the Spirit. If you focus on the Spirit, you're not going to have a problem letting go of the destructive things and enjoying things that's not destructive. Think about it. If it's destructive, why would you want to do it? It's not wisdom, so let it go. But you're focused on the Spirit. You don't need props and crutches. You don't need wine to make you feel better. You don't need drugs to make the difference. But if somebody want to drink coffee, for instance, I like the way it tastes. It's got caffeine in it, so I don't drink much of it because I don't need anything to make me alert. I don't need coffee for that. I like the way it tastes. It has other gifts. You know, other properties too. So does wine. Wine has other things too. He just said, don't get drunk. I don't drink wine, and I don't ever plan to. But when you put restrictions on people, they're focused on measuring up now. When Jesus already brought them to the point of life so that they can build their life. So I don't have to go around telling people what they shouldn't be doing. And If I ever have to, the Lord will show me how to do it in love too. And I don't mind doing it. I tell anybody, you know, stay away from drugs. I've seen the worst of the worst. That's common sense. When you see people betraying their own family member just to get high and doing all kind of things to get high, it's death. Because he just said, because the carnal man is enmity against God. Anything that makes you a slave, you got enough common sense to know to leave that alone. You know, I don't have to tell people, don't hit your hand with that 10-pound hammer. Because if they do it one time, they'll never want to do it again. But if we focus on the Spirit, we'll be fine. You know, verse 9 or verse 8, so then they that are in in the flesh cannot please God. If you're living according to the flesh, you can't please God if you're doing the sinful things of the flesh. And if you try, if you're scared of being, if you focus on trying to not sin, that's a miserable way to live too. But watch verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you, which he does. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So you're in Christ. If you believed on Jesus Christ, you also have the Holy Spirit within. And you can have the Holy Spirit upon you. The word said, be filled with the Spirit. Every believer has the Spirit of Christ within them because they've received him in their heart. So everybody has the Holy Spirit within. Even denomination people who think it all went away, with they still got the Holy Spirit within. The Baptist, the Methodist, Episcopal, everybody who sincerely believed on Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit within. Now, that's where you're going to have to learn to live from. Then he said, verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, your body is dead to sin because you don't want to do that anymore. You've been renewed. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So all you have to do is focus on the Spirit. Verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, consider this now, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. This is true. If you expect to be raptured, if you're a Christian, it's going to happen. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh at all, to live after the flesh. For if you live out of the flesh, you die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you live. Easy. And do it in his strength. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God and daughters of God, of course. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, so let all that go. Focus on the Spirit. And I know that it can seem like you're about to fall. Focus on the Spirit when you feel like you might fall. Focus on the Spirit. Focus on the Spirit. Focus on Jesus and walk on your water. Walk out of deception. Speak the word just like when you feel tempted. Speak the word. Speak the counter against it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you can make up your own confessions to fight back with. I hate the ways of lust. I used to say that. If I felt tempted, I say, I hate the ways of lust. I hate temptation. I hate Satan's logic. I hate pride. I hate greed. I hate it. I say it from the heart. Life in the Spirit. And then I say, I love God. I love his will. I love his ways. I love his people. I love what he stands for. And I build myself up just like David. Life in the Spirit. David, the Old Testament brother, did it. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Everybody, Saul wanted him dead. Saul's army wanted to kill him. His own men was with him. Had left everything to help him. 600 men. They were out doing what the king should have been doing. They were driving out Canaanites. Then they got raided. And they came and took their camp, their wives, their livestock, and everything they owned. And then his own men was against David. David set himself aside and encouraged himself in the Lord. Then he went and mustered his men back up to par and went and took everything. That's life in the Spirit, folks. You are capable of no different and even better. Even better. There's nothing that can happen to you that you can't master in the Spirit. Now, preachers are being paid to quell the gospel down, water it down, and take away responsibility. Satan knows that if you don't ever do your part, if you don't learn to walk in the Spirit, he'll never have to fight you hard. He'll pick on your life and make it miserable, and you won't be able to do anything about it because you don't know how to walk in the Spirit. So all the preachers that's being paid to quell the gospel, water it down, and take away. They don't preach your responsibility. They preach what God will do, and everything is in God's power. That's a lie. God can do all things through those who believe, and according to how they believe, according to the power that works in you. And I asked the Lord, I said, what is the power that works in us? He said, it's the sum, S-U-M, of what you believe. So if you drive out the doubt, deception, and unbelief, you'll be left with the part of God's word that you really did receive. And the Spirit of God will train you with it, put it back together, and you'll live a strong life. You'll live in the Spirit like you're supposed to. And guess what happens when that happens? See, when I asked the Lord to teach me to love, I also learned to master my emotions. I could master the way I feel. People always tell me, I feel like I needed, I don't feel strong. I master how I feel. I can turn it off like you turn it off a television. I can change the channel on doubt and unbelief. I can drive it out of my life if I want to. If something happens out there that used to make me puzzled or doubtful or fearful, I can laugh at it. Life in the Spirit. You're capable of much more than that. I learned this when I was in the middle of a storm. And it surprised me. It really, I was surprised. He said, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God. That's what you got to focus on. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And then he said this, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. True. All of it is true.